In the name of our loving, reconciling, and life-giving God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning.
Good morning.
Selamat pagi, as I say it in my Bahasa. Let's try selamat pagi. Selamat pagi.
Selamat pagi.
My name is Raymond. Thank you for having me here today. Thank you to Reverend Ellie. Always amazing. You're so lucky. You're such a great minister. So loving, so caring. When I received the call to come and preach here, I said, yes, I want to meet Glenbrook United Church. I want to meet Reverend Ellie and the family. So thank you for having me here. It's really a joy, it's a privilege, and it's always a blessing to be part of a worship gathering together and to see many friends as well in this church. It's amazing. I came from Indonesia, so I was born in Indonesia, in Jakarta, and you know there's always a risk when you invite an Indonesian to preach, isn't it? The risk is that in my hometown, when we do church service, it's longer than 3 hours. Let's not go that far. Let's try to minimize the whole situation. And because I woke up late this morning, I woke up at 7:30, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I should be on the road already. I forgot my watch. So this is not going to be good. I don't know. She's at the back. There's a clock at the top. Beautiful. That would be my aim. Now, obviously, Ellie normally preach about an hour. I'll do my very best. I want to share a story first about who I am, and hopefully we can go into the gospel if time permits. I grew up in Sydney, down South Sydney. I actually grew up in the Shire. And I do get out, so don't call me a hobbit. And I did all my school there and my university as well at the University of New South Wales. When I reached university, I struggled with my faith because I was brought up as a pastor's kid, as a PK. We've got a label for PK. And I struggled because I grew up in a denomination where we cannot question things. It's literally a top-down given theology. And so when I did my first degree, which is chemical engineering, I start to question my faith, and it didn't really make sense about, oh, God made the world in 6 days, so we have to take that literally. All these things that come up, questions that I struggle with. And so when I reached university, I kind of moved away from my, I guess, home denomination. My dad is a mega church pastor. Now, when I say mega church pastor in Indonesia, it's actually a very small church. It's only got 4,000, but he thinks it's a mega church. And we have 300 million people, so we're in the mass, yeah. And when dad said, oh, you know, you shouldn't change, you should be with us, and there's a line. You know, I'm a pastor, and my son should be a pastor too. I'm like, But then that failed, didn't it? So obviously. But at that time, I questioned. I questioned because I don't want to be a Christian and not be able to make a difference. I don't want to be a Christian just coming on Sunday and going to church and please my family. I don't want to be a Christian where I just think, oh, okay, well, this is a set values, this is a set thinking, this is a set theology, and therefore I should just believe. I kind of want to get out from that. It just didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me. I don't want to give you the name of the denomination, because one time I did that in my Indonesian church, and my goodness, they went psycho. So I'm going to keep the peace for Glenbrook United Church. Reverend Ellie, you will be in placement still. But it didn't make sense to me. And then I realized, there's actually another denomination that I can go to, which is called the United Church. And when I read the basis of union, when I read the website, when I read all the things that's happening in the United Church, I realized that one thing that we do best at the United Church is to be a public church for the life of the world. And this is contradicting to some beliefs that we have in the Christian faith to be a private church, a private Christian. This is contradicting towards that. Because we are called in the United Church to be a movement, to be part of this movement that Jesus started. Now, my first placement was with the Indonesian ministry in Maroubra. And our culture is very much, we love to isolate ourselves. So it's always very difficult to think outside the box, to think literally and question what's out there. Because we're formed in that way. My second placement in the United Church was with the Korean church. Not going to go well, is it? Any Korean here? Is it recorded? Oh, it's recorded. Koreans are great. And of course, it has a similar culture to mine. And after my second placement, I kind of took a break. I told the secretariat, I said, you know what, I'm done to placement, I've had it. So I went on a journey to Africa, to Malawi. Now, I did mention that I didn't start my first degree with theology degree, right? So I did start with a science degree, not a science, an engineering degree, chemical engineering degree. I also did a PhD in pharmaceutical science. So when I graduated my first degree, I won this Trelawar Prize for the best scientist under 30 in Australia and New Zealand. And so they gave me a scholarship to do a PhD. So I thought, why not? You know, we'll do a PhD. But then at the same time, God called me. So then I did all my theological studies as well, and then eventually get ordained. But when I went to Africa in Malawi, I want to really live out what does it mean to be a public church for the life of the world. I want to experiment this. And so I did. So I've got slides. Is that okay if I show you some photos? I promise you, you won't go boring. So I don't know if you... Do you guys anyone know where Malawi is? It's very small. It's one of those locked countries. And squeezed between all these other places. And I was there for 2 years sent by DFAT. So the government sent me there for helping or contribute to improve the health condition in Malawi. There's a Millennium Development Goals, and that was to counter all the fake drugs that we have in the world. And I was part of that program with us. Well, it was AusAid at the beginning, and then Tony Abbott axed it, and then something else called, but it's still in the same program. So when I went there, I was there actually not as a minister, I was actually there as a scientist. So my PhD again is not in theology. If you've got theological questions after this, please refer to the Reverend Ellie, not me. But this is the condition there in Malawi, where I stayed for 2 years. The people were fantastic. Everybody always danced. It's just a vibrant community. And we get to appreciate all the things in life because life was very simple. And in that simplicity, we're able to understand the meaning of life. And so I had a great time being there. But my role was actually in the College of Medicine. So I was teaching doctors, nurses, physio, pharmacists, because we're shortage of that in Malawi. And I was teaching pharmacology, medicinal chemistry, pharmaceutical analysis, how to actually detect if we have fake medicine. Now, where did all this come from? Well, Malawi gets money from WHO, UNESCO funding to get medicine. And because they have a corrupt government, they decided to take 50% into their pocket and the other 50% bought these fake drugs. Now, when the drugs, when the medicine comes in, it comes in a big container. They're all packaged really well. They're all packaged really nice. But in it, it's actually sugar. Right? So, if you get malaria, which is very common, like a flu, it's treatable. It's not like, you know, cancer or anything like that that we need to take into serious. It's treatable. You take a couple of pills, by 3 days, you'll be fine. But because we live in such condition where it's not like here, we have nice hospitals in the mountains or in Sydney, we take in all these sugars and we die. Mothers, children, seniors, young ones, they come all through the way from their village. They have to walk, they carry their babies, they carry everything. By the time they reach hospital, they have to wait for a day or two. You don't get a special seat, you sit outside. We sit on the floor. I had to help one mother deliver her baby on the floor. So the condition is not, let's just say, Australian standard, ISO 910000. But you see, if you look in the picture, when they get the medicine, they don't even care. They put it into one tub. And you know, medicine have different dosages, yes?
Yes?
Yes, we all know this. And so, when they're not trained properly, not only we risk of taking the fake pills, but we also risk of misdosage. And that doesn't go well as well. So, when I review the hospital's pharmacy department, I was shocked. I was thinking, this is not right. Now, I had two options. One option is to be quiet, Raymond. This is not your place. You're not a minister. You're just a lecturer. Your job here is to just teach. That's it. Or, second option, you be a public church. You be a good Christian. You live out your faith, what you believe, and speak out for the things that is going on in that country. And so, which option do you reckon I chose? Where is it? So that this is like they sell it in the markets for less than like 5 cents. So when I found out, so this picture here on the right hand side, there's a lot of fake drugs. I burned them. I burned it out. And I burned them, sorry, going too fast. I burned them in front of the college and in front of the hospital to raise awareness that this is not, because it could be me too. It could be anyone. I was teaching third year pharmacy student. That week, the student was there. the next week that student wasn't there. And that crushed my heart. And because there's YouTube, all my students decided to YouTube me and found me in an album singing at an Indonesian church, and they found that I was a minister. And so they asked me as well to do the funeral. And that, again, broke my heart. We can't afford being a private church. We can't afford being a private Christian. Because there's so much things that we can do. These are my students. And yeah, I did a lot of Bible study in between. Look, I end up, seriously, and this is probably why I cannot stay from ordained ministry. I end up going there as a non-ordained person, like non-ordained, like non-church person, to end up being a minister in a local church. Because I found out about my movement to stop this fake medicine. Then I build up a pharmacovigilance center, where we have now a center to test drugs. I bought all the equipment, everything here from UNSW, and we set it over there. This reduced mortality rate. And the work that I did was published by the International Journal of Pharmacy Education. But you see, oops, I got too fast. But you see, I came from a very isolated faith to now understanding that we need to be a public church. Not for me. Not for you, not for anyone, but actually for God. And this is the interesting bit. I love today's story about God's dream. Because what I'm actually doing is not Raymond's work. What I'm actually participating in is actually I'm participating in the dream that God has for this world. In Acts chapter 17, we heard the story of Paul and Silas. We heard the story of Jason and his friends. We heard the story that there were a lot of people in that community in Thessalonica that disagreed with the movement. And in that movement, they even said, as was read today, that they caused trouble. In the NRSV version, it says that they turned the world upside down. I love it. Glenbrook United Church turning the world upside down. That should be in the people passing by. What is that? What's going on there? When I did this, I remember Paul and Silas. I remember Jason turning the world upside down. Yes, the students took it up to the streets. I did start a riot, but that's okay. In my country, we do a lot, but that's okay. And that has ripple effects. So sometimes I get government officials coming into my office. Are you Dr. Joseph? You're making too much noise in this country. It's like, oh, please come in. Welcome. Sampai. Most of the MPs are not happy with you because you raise this and it's disturbing. Now, I don't know about you, but I was told that if you're making too much noise in Malawi, Africa, I think that means and when I had to report these things, government protocols, it's so annoying, the paperwork is this much. I get a lot of death threats. People chuck stones at my house. Basically, a lot of harassments and physical, I guess, encounter, and that's not good, confrontational. But I realize that I'm actually like other followers of Christ, Paul, Silas, Jason, Glenbrook United Church. I'm turning the world upside down. In actually fact, I'm turning it the right side up. Jesus started a movement. Actually, let me correct that. Jesus picked up a movement from John the Baptist. John the Baptist picked up the movement from all the prophets in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, God's dream was explained so well, especially in Isaiah. And if you look in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, the last probably chapter of that book, you will also see God's dream. Oh, Glenbrook United Church quoting Revelation at 9:30 in the morning. Yes, because in that dream, in that vision, John saw what God is working on in this world. No more war, no more suffering, no more injustice, no more bigotry, no more racism, no more violence, no more hatred, but just the great shalom. That's God's dream. God is on a mission. Not just to save our souls. But you see, God has a mission to turn the world upside down, in actual fact, the right side up. In Luke 19, we encounter Jesus and Zacchaeus, a tax collector. If Jesus were concerned about his private life or his private reputation, he would not be hanging around with tax collectors. Because at that particular time, not so good. Not the best friend to be with. And certainly, probably, the people that you hate. But you see, the fact that Jesus took an interest in Zacchaeus, that's the first step of being a public church for the life of the world. Took an interest in Zacchaeus. That's all. You don't need a PhD in chemistry. It's useless, hopeless. All you need is an interest. Jesus took an interest and came to his house. This action humbled him in such a way that led him to do what he needed to do, to bring out the kingdom of God. And so therefore, we see a conversion in the life of Zacchaeus. Now, in my old denomination, conversion means something else. But I do believe in the United Church, conversion means discipleship. You're converted into disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is why I'm a Christian. This is why I'm in the United Church. Because I know that I have my brothers and sisters in Christ in Glenbrook United Church that works in the same movement as God. I know in my home congregation at Pitt Street United Church with my minister, Reverend Dr. Margaret Maynard, I know that we also work together in raising that values of inclusivity, in raising that good news of Jesus Christ, that is about love. We are all called to be able to be in this way. The movement that started, it's called The Way. It's not a local congregation. It's The Way. Oh, but Raymond, you know, I'm still too young. Oh, no, you're not. You can still make a difference. Oh, I'm a senior person now. I can't do anything. Oh, I don't think so. You still can. You see, it's about God. You and I here in this church, well, first of all, we love Ellie. We love hearing her sermon. But you and I know that you in Him is because of God. The source of life in this world is not coming from you, but it's from God. But let's not just stay in that frame. Let's become the public church for the life of the world, continuing that movement of Jesus Christ that Jesus picked up, continuing to participate, even though it's difficult. You think it's not difficult? It's difficult. Paul and Silas were dragged. Jason was dragged. Raymond received death threats. I remember the general secretary and I came back and said, oh, I still got work to do. No, Raymond, you stay in Australia. Okay. Enough. But you see, being a public church, you don't have to go to Africa. There's lots to do here. There's lots to do in our local area. There's lots to do here. If we look at the story, what is Bethlehem? What is Israel? There's also small places. Insignificant places, the Bible says. But they make a difference. Until now, the Shalom movement is still with us right now. So, I want to encourage you, and this is why I encourage all my students as well at UNSW. When you are living in this world, don't just think about yourself, but be able to think about the bigger picture, and that's God's dream. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.